Hello, friends and family, and thank you for tuning in to the Doug Cottrussell Family Hour. This is a very special episode of this podcast because I just found out that I probably have testicular cancer. What does this mean? It means that I get a chance to fight it. If I'd ignored the swelling in my balls, then my balls would be sending little missionaries out into my lungs and brains right now to try to finish me off. But I caught the rogue testicle in time, and I intend to demolish, decimate it, destroy it, flatten it, or turn it into my lover. The Doug Cottrussell Family Hour is now entering DEFCON 4, and we're going to kick it off with some Devo. Twist away the gates of steel. Unlock the secret voice. Give in to ancient noise. Take a chance, a brand new dance. Twist away the gates of steel. Twist away, now twist and shout. The earth, it moves too slow. But the earth is all we know. We pay to play the human way. Twist away the gates of steel.
A man is real, not made of steel.
Fucking cancer. Testicular cancer. It's such a scary word, and for the last week or so, I've been sort of letting my mind whirl around exactly how I'm supposed to deal with this phenomena. And I've noticed that there's basically two ways to deal with this. You can either freak the fuck out, be terrified, depressed, worried, and horrified, scared, and out of your mind with anxiety, or you can step further back and recognize that regardless of what happens with your cancer treatments, regardless of whether or not you have cancer or not, you exist in a meat body that is going to die. There's no way around it. Our bodies are going to die. We're all going to die. Every single one of you listening to this podcast right now, except for three of you who I have been in contact with, are all going to die. Everyone. Everyone, life has a 100% mortality rate, whereas testicular cancer has a 90% cure rate. So, I've decided that I'm not going to do the first sentimental thing. I've sort of been recording over the last few days, trying to record a podcast to tell you guys about what's going on. And like, none of them have really been that sentimental, but I have noticed that my mind has been every once in a while spinning into this very dark, sentimental, sappy place. So disease affords us the opportunity to really become indulgent. You know, you can like really, there's so many songs that you can listen to. There's so much music that you can listen to that's really fucking sappy about dying and about like the fragility of life. And, you know, something about this very natural process, which by the way, P.S. you guys, I don't think, I mean, I'm dying in the sense that I'm human. But based on the tests that have been coming back, it looks like this is a very treatable form of cancer. I might have to get some radiation. I might have to get some chemo. I might even have to get another surgery or two. I don't know. The tests are going to come back. But statistically, I've got an incredibly good shot of being okay. It's going to be annoying, inconvenient. It's not going to be like, you know, I don't like going to hospitals. I don't know if you do like going to hospitals. You're a goddamn freak because they're strange places that are kind of perched at the very edge of the afterlife, because those are the structures that form around people who are very sick and who are dropping their bodies and flying off into the next realm of existence, whatever that may be. So they're really weird. They're like strange places. It's also where people are being born. So man, hospitals are just filled with interdimensional beings, angels, devils, not to mention germs, and not to mention like a lot of weird people in the medical industry, and this whole amazing conglomeration, a rainbow of freaks hangs out at hospitals. So it's not exactly the most fun place to go, but it's fine with me if that's a battlefield that I've got to fight this new war that has emerged into my life, then I don't mind going there. It's everything, as far as I'm concerned, is better than succumbing to fear and not putting up a fight. So I've talked to so many fucking people over the course of getting this, and I've noticed that I've had it for a while. By the P.S., if you go back and listen to podcasts a month ago, I had cancer, probably. I just didn't know that I had it. You know, there's no, you can never tell, who knows how long this shit's been sitting in my body. This is in the type of Buddhism I practice, Nichiren Buddhism, there's this idea that existing within everyone is this like, it's karma. And karma is like kind of this metaphysical seed that at some point in your life is going to blossom into a tree of either something really good or something really bad. Actually, both. Everyone's going to get old. Everyone's going to get, everyone's going to die, and a disease is an inevitability. So these possibilities exist inside all of us, inside every single one listening. I'm not trying to scare you guys. I'm just trying to put things in a perspective of truth, because if you begin to develop a loving relationship with the truth, then your life starts getting much, much more beautiful and vivid. And not only that, but you're going to be able to achieve your goals and actualize yourself a lot faster and easier than if you aren't really paying attention to what's happening inside your body or inside your world. This is in Sun Tzu's Art of War. This is one of my favorite parts of Sun Tzu's Art of War. And it's a very simple thing, which is that the most important thing in battle, one of the most important things in battle is know your terrain. Know the terrain you're fighting on. If you don't know the terrain you're fighting on, you're fucked. The enemy's going to destroy you. And so there's so many different parts of people's lives, mine especially, that I've kept in the dark, kind of ignored it. You know, and one of those parts of my life is my health. I hadn't been to the doctor in like, God, so long. I hadn't gotten a physical in so long. And, you know, part of that was because I didn't have health insurance. Now, but really the truth was I was fucking scared. You know, I was really scared about going to the doctor and getting the light shined on whatever thing was happening inside of my body. It's terrifying. Why is it terrifying? It's terrifying because the real thing that we keep in the darkness and the real thing that we keep on the periphery and the real thing that we spend a lot of time trying not to think about and to avoid is the fact that we're all going to die. We're all going to get obliterated, or however you want to put it. We're all going to dissolve, dissipate, go through the radical change that death represents, where our bodies cease to function and transform back into the earth. That's a scary thing that so many people spend their entire lives trying to avoid and not think about. How do they try to avoid it and not think about it? A lot of ways. They buy really awesome cars. They get crazy tattoos. They try to fuck death away. They try to forget death by fucking it away. They drink. They do drugs. They get into weird relationships. Anything to avoid looking into this amazing abyss that surrounds every single one of us on this planet, this incredible subjective singularity, which we call death. It's terrifying. It's a terrifying thing. And so the way we deal with it, a lot of people, is by sticking our heads in the sand and trying to ignore it. That is not a healthy way to deal with it. There's another way people deal with it, which is they go to Hot Topic, buy black lipstick, and carve Marilyn Manson's initials into their arm. That's also not a way to deal with it. Getting all gothy and dark and hanging out in graveyards with like vintage picnic baskets and eating hand sandwiches while you stare at Oscar Wilde's lipstick-covered grave is also not a way to handle it, by becoming a kind of like... that the whole other grim side of it, where it's your ghost story that you try to haunt everybody with. That's not the way to deal with it either. Well, you can deal with it however the way you want to deal with it. I guess there's no right way to do it, but based on my analysis, as far as I could tell, we are surrounded in the material universe by an infinite array of phenomena, and that is constantly in a state of transformation. That phenomena is what people call nature. That's what people call objective reality. And this phenomena does a little dance with us as we exist on this planet. And sometimes the phenomena appears to us in the form of like someone that we fall in love with, our soulmate, an amazing person, like the someone where you meet and you realize this is who I've been looking for my entire life. And that's an amazing thing. That's the blissful way that the phenomena manifests for us. And that's an incredible thing. Sometimes the phenomena manifests in our lives in the form of less appealing things like disaster, tragedy, our parents get sick, houses burn down, we're in Syria. You know, sometimes you get born in fucking Syria. Sometimes you get born in the Gaza Strip as a kid who has to watch your parents get decimated by errant bombs. Sometimes you get born in the fucking Sudan, where your mom gets raped in front of you. And sometimes you get born, you know what I'm saying? There's so many different ways that the various incarnations that we all take into this dimension there's so many things that can surround those incarnations, and quite often those things aren't great. We have no control over them. We have no control in general over the way these phenomena come into our lives. The only thing we can control is the way we react to them. Now, you don't want to react to this shit. Cancer, for example. I don't want to react to this with false bravado. This is not, I'm not putting you guys on. I feel like I'm being very honest with you when I say that I am scared. I am, I do feel that I have been knocked a little bit off the course that I thought I was traveling down. But to me, that is novelty. And to me, novelty is the essence of creativity, and it's the thing that is the essence of inspiration. So what I've learned from doing this podcast and having conversations with so many of you and reading so many awesome books and studying a lot of stuff is that we get to decide what story we want to live by in this world. We get to decide what story we're in. And we can be in a rom-com, we can be in a shitty drama, we can be in a cop movie, we can be in a sci-fi movie, but the decision that you make, it should be something that you make with your will, something that you make with your mind, something that you decide to live by, rather than letting the phenomena sweep over you and roll you beneath the wave of circumstance that inevitably crashes upon all of us. So I've decided in this moment, and as information comes in and as I learn more things and I get deeper and deeper into the truth of this thing, my decision is that I'm not going to let this be something that I get gloomy or melodramatic or cowardly or nostalgic about. I have in my life done so much LSD, have taken so many mushrooms and psychedelic trips, have read so many different books on Eastern philosophy and religion, that I feel now that all of that was a preparation to deal with whatever this thing is that's emerged into my life. And everything, the essence that I've learned from that is that we are not our bodies, that what we actually are is a something that is infinite and that occasionally from time to time seems to manifest in the form of human incarnations. And that if we get attached to this human incarnation and we get attached to the idea that things aren't going to change, then we suffer. Suffering emerges from that. Because, you know, here's one way you could deal with cancer. Oh my God, I'm gonna fucking die. Are you kidding? Now I'm gonna fucking die? Now this is what's gonna happen? Oh no, one of my balls is gonna get cut off. And how the fuck am I gonna be able to pay for all this shit? And I'm not gonna be able to go on the fucking road and do stand-up comedy because I'm gonna be sick and I'm gonna turn into one of the cancer comics. And what is every fucking joke gonna be about my goddamn balls now? Is that it? Am I gonna be this stigmatized fucking cancer comic? Is that it? That's the fucking thing? What if I can't beat it? And what if I got to get my fucking lymph nodes removed and my intestines pulled out? And what if I go through 5 days in the hospital of agonizing pain? And what if I get infections, staph infections? Will my cock still work? Will I be able to have babies anymore? Well, do I even want to have a baby now? What if later down the road, cancer pounces on me again? It gets into my prostate or my brain. Is my body malfunctioning? Is this 2012? That's one. Those are all the crazy fear-related thoughts that have been whirling through my mind, and I've really paid a lot of attention to these thoughts. And a couple of times, that's really got me. Those series of that thought pattern has really fucking leg sweep me and push me down to the ground. And at those points, this crazy feeling of despair sweeps over me. It's this awesome, crazy vertigo. It's really fucking intense. And then the result of that is that I just want to lay down and not move. I want to freeze up. I have this same reaction that those idiotic sheep. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but you should immediately look this up. There's these sheep that for some inexplicable reason have developed a reaction to like spiraling colors. And if you like, it's just this hilarious video of people spinning umbrellas in front of these sheep and they just like pass out. It's the worst reaction ever, but that's kind of like when Maya is, they call the material universe Maya, which means illusion, but personified illusion, when the field of phenomena sort of like configures in my mind in that way is the form of Kali, the conquering, destroying, God beheading, death goddess who does the dance of destruction at the end of time. When that thing pops up, it's a very fearsome form and it's terrifying and it definitely makes me want to roll up into the fetal position and shit myself, makes me consider committing suicide and all the different things that happen when you allow fear to overcome you. But I've noticed that I, through logic and through consideration of the statistics of the situation that I am in, but more importantly, through affirmations, through meditation, through actively saying to myself and to everyone I talk to, I'm going to be fine. Even if I die, I'm going to be fine. My mood shifts. And if my mood shifts, suddenly I become active. And when I'm active, then suddenly I think my odds for really crushing this thing increase 100-fold. So I don't want this to turn into a cancer podcast. I don't want this to turn into some kind of weepy, moany, check your balls. You guys know that. Check your fucking balls. You know that. I don't want it to turn into some kind of like maudlin exercise and saying goodbye, which isn't what's happening. By the way, my doctor says I'm going to be fine based on a lot of the results that are coming in. I'm not where Lance Armstrong was when he got it. That poor bastard was coughing up blood. It had moved into his brain, and one of his balls was swollen to the size of an orange. My testicle, not to get too detailed, kids, put your fingers in your ear, just hear this in one ear, kids. My testicles are like the size of like dates, I'd say. One of them is like the size of like a mid-sized farmer's market date. Just like probably double the size of my other testicle. Not great, but it's not the size of an orange, and apparently this shit hasn't spread into my lungs. It may have gone into my abdomen a little bit. We don't know yet. But my doctor, who seems to be a very apt urologist who looks like Arjuna in the Hare Krishna pictures of the battlefield of Kurukshetra in the Bhagavad Gita, he is very confident that I'm going to be fine. And also from studying stuff on the internet, I'm very confident that I'm going to be fine. And also all the love that you guys have been sending me since I let everybody know what's going on has had the most incredible effect on me, which is I can't even describe it. Well, let me try to describe it because it's so fucking beautiful and profound that it deserves an attempt at a description. One of my favorite things on the internet, aside from the sheep that pass out when you spin the umbrella in front of them, do I say umbrella wrong? Umbrella is the when you put powder over a speaker and allow a certain tone to roll through that powder. The tone makes the powder configure into these awesome patterns, and it kind of feels like what's happening with the response that you guys have given me. It feels like this wave of love is rolling in from the universe to me, and it's formed this very incredible, beautiful pattern where my friends are calling and asking if I need help, where people are constantly texting me and wishing me luck, where you guys on Twitter and through Facebook have been sending me the sweetest, most hilarious, beautiful messages. It's amazing. It's just a wave of love, and I feel so humbled by it and flattered by it. And more than anything, I feel inspired to use this event in my life as a demonstration of how with a strong community, if we all work together and with willpower and focus, we can transform any event that we want into something beautiful and good. You know, I was talking to someone about it and they're like, well, you know, that's the good side of it. But I don't think there's a bad side to this. As insane and bizarre and delusional as that may sound to a lot of you, I really don't think that there's a bad side to this. I think the only way that there's a bad side to this is if I become despondent or dejected or depressed and decide not to fight. If I let fear overcome me, if I allow worry to overcome me, if I allow not knowing everything that's going on inside my body, if I allow the terror of the future to overcome me, well, then I think that's a bad side. To quote the amazing Ben Gesserit Litany Against Fear from Frank Herbert's Dune, I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear is gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. Ugh. That guy really loved mushrooms. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna is fighting, about to go into the fight in the field of Kurukshetra, the field of sacred truth, and he pulled the chariot in between the two armies. Forgive me, I know I always talk about this, but it's so awesome. And he throws his bow down because he doesn't want to fight anymore because he's analyzed how terrible this fight is that he's about to fucking embark on. And he's like, fuck this shit, I'm just going to go into the forest and become a beggar. And that's the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. And one of the great verses following that dejection where Arjuna freaks out is when Krishna says, the wise mourn neither for the living nor for the dead. That's amazing. In one of the greatest scriptures on earth, one of the first things they say is, don't fall prey to the nostalgia of moaning or getting all weepy and sentimental over the fact that you're going to die or someone you know has cancer or whatever. It doesn't help anybody. It really doesn't. The weepiness only creates a situation if, for me, I've noticed, if someone gets really intensely weepy, which is fine, but it does just create a situation where it's like, look, I'm telling you, we're going to get through this no matter what. Even if I die from this, we're still going to get through it, and we're going to get through it in the most graceful, awesome way that I possibly can. As Ram Dass says, dying is safe. Now, I have no intention of letting this stupid ball cancer take me out, but unless Ray Kurzweil's right and within the next 20 or 30 years they invent swarms of nanobots that reassemble our DNA and allow us to transform into beautiful, young, 17-year-old Asian boys who can fly and lift 1,000-pound weights while maintaining superior erections and use telepathy to control sex robots, there's a pretty good chance that I am going to die. And this is just a little reminder to me and maybe to all of us to fucking check our balls. If your balls are weird, check them out. Go to the doctor, get your physicals, and be a little healthier. Because really, what do you have to lose from just being a little healthier? You end up feeling better. You get frothy jizz. You don't stink as much. And you're more fun to have sex with. So stop ignoring whatever the thing is that you've been ignoring. You know what it is. Shine the light on the fucking vampire. They goddamn hate it. They fucking hate it. This is, as far as I'm concerned, for me personally, this is the greatest, I'm entering into the greatest phase of my life. And the most important and poignant and awesome, mystical, incredible phase of my life. Because I get to get in the big fight right now. I get to get in the big fight. And man, that it really is the opportunity to fight. You know, I know it's such a cheesy thing, but God damn it, in all the awesome gladiator movies and movies about war, there's nothing more awesome, honorable, and cool than to die on the field of battle. And now, I don't mean die in some stupid corporate war. I mean the battle that emerges in all of our lives, where you really make the decision that you're going to fucking fight with everything that you have, whatever it happens to be. And every single one of us has that battle to fight in this incarnation. Every single one of us. For some of you, that battle might be drug addiction. For some of you, that battle might be opening your heart up and becoming more of a loving person. And for some of you, that battle might be, you know, quitting your job and doing what you really love to do. Who knows? Getting out of a shitty relationship, whatever the fucking thing is. But one thing that I've learned immediately from this experience is that one, the response or the reaction of denial is the worst thing that you could do. Shine your light into the vampire coffins, friends. Go into the dark tomb. Go into the part of the woods where the wolves howl and the owls hoot in the trees. Go into that dark, horrifying familial graveyard that exists in the far corners of your mind. That place that you've been desperately trying to avoid and pretend doesn't exist in your subjective field of existence. Go in there with a fucking light and shine that goddamn light on whatever the thing is that you've been trying to hide from yourself. And then fucking fight, goddammit. You know what? The other cool thing about getting cancer is I get to do these rants now with absolutely no shred of guilt. It's the best. It's fucking awesome. I no longer have to worry about goddamn being didactic. I don't have to worry about anything. The other fucking awesome thing about the potential of having cancer is that you really realize, like, oh, God, I could give a fuck what anybody thinks about me. That's not true. I always care a little bit about that. But it really becomes a very – you definitely do the Google Earth zoom out real fast when this shit happens. And things that used to seem really important to you – become really do shrink away real fucking fast. So that's the end of this mini episode. I love you guys. I'll be reporting in. Hopefully tomorrow they'll let me record my ectomy, my ball execution. But if not, I'll try to record something tomorrow in a nice doped up state, what they call the twilight state. I told my dad that they're going to put me in the twilight state, and he's like, I think you've got a lot of experience in that state. So he's right. Anyway, did I already say I love you guys? I'll say it again. I got cancer. I get to say that as much as I want. Ha ha. I love you guys. I love you. I love existence. And I really think everything is just love. And I think that fear is just a mask that love wears sometimes. And that when you acknowledge your fear and really embrace it, it takes the mask off and turns into one of the sweetest, most incredible things ever. I get to say that too, because I have cancer. So I'll talk to you guys soon. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to DuncanTrussell.com, buy some stuff from the shop. You can donate. You can go to audible.com/family hour and sign up for a trial membership. They send me $15, which is awesome. And or you can go through our Amazon portal. Or you can just say hello on Twitter. No matter what, I love you. I'll talk to you guys very shortly. This song that I'm about to play is amazing. It's was introduced to me by the legendary LA DJ Nina Tarr, and the name of the song is the Teen Keen Skip, and the band is called Cloud Dead. It's incredible. Read the lyrics because they're awesome, and download it on iTunes. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Wine and cake for gentlemen, hay and corn for horses, a cup of ale for good old wives, and kisses for the lasses.
Stamps. They won't believe they're wearing the line pants. 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 Keep an eye like just a carrot. Can't. 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 Aging in space. Return to magnets. Face to face.
Cells in agreement.